A Tomb of Phoenixes by Magic Gene Tech, read by Juniper Phoenix. Lao Shi, where is this place? Ni Huaisang let the Qi trace through the stone door before turning back to Mo Xuanyu. This is the third most secret secret, or maybe the fifth, that I have to offer you. You've seen most of the really serious secrets, so it's about time we did a fun one. More fun than the haunted sabers that eat ghosts? That is only fun to you, my little apprentice. Niu Huaisang held up his lantern as they strode down the passageway. The rough crenellations in the rock flickered with shadow. Avenging my brother is my duty, and running the Nia sect is my job, but this is my passion. More than pornography? Shockingly, yes. Come on. If you keep asking questions, we won't get to the meat of the matter. Nia Huaisang hung the lantern up on a hook as they entered the main room of the complex. A set of mirrors on the walls reflected the light, illuminating the place. You said this wasn't like the haunted saber tomb.
Yes.
This is literally a tomb.
Yes, but you haven't seen what's here. Come on, come on.
Nia Huaisang practically skipped over to the nearest coffin. Mo Xuanyu followed and peered into it. Inside was rock. No, inside was mostly rock. Inside was a flat slab of reddish rock with fine black bones raised in it. He could see a small oval skull and the nubs of vertebrae, long and outstretched arms. When he tilted his head, traces of black feathers in the rock turned iridescent in the lamplight.
Look, but don't touch, Nia Huaisang said. They're delicate.
It looks like a chicken.
But you can't put a chicken in a rock. That doesn't work, Mo Xuanyu said.
And it's got teeth. And birds definitely don't have those.
I'm making you learn bird science the next time I can haul you out of Lanlang.
Geese have teeth, Nia Huaisang said. But you're right, that isn't a chicken, and that birds don't have this shape. The head is more like a lizard's, isn't it?
It is.
Mo Xuanyu slowly walked around the coffin, examining the creature. How did it get in the rock?
Do you remember your study of the elements? Nia Huaisang asked.
Mo Xuanyu nodded.
Usually wood is stronger than earth and takes power from it. But here, somehow, the process has been flipped. The earth took power from the wood and turned it into stone. I mean, there are many plants caught in the stone, but they aren't the only ones. All these birds were transmuted to stone, too.
Mo Xuanyu turned to look at the other coffins.
Other birds? In the coffins?
Yes, most of these have birds, but there's other animals transmuted there, too.
I'll show you, Nia Huaisang said, bouncing to the other side.
The next coffin held another not bird, the traces of black feathers wrapped around itself like a shroud. The one after that had two of the not birds posed as if dancing together.
How many of these are there?
My brother and I found a dozen, Nia Huaisang said.
I was 9 then.
There had been an earthquake. The rocks had fallen to pieces, cracking into thin lines and shattering. Most of the damage had been a rock slide that blocked a major road. Fortunately, the only casualty was an escaped pig that had gotten crushed while gallivanting in the night. It was a small crisis, but the Wen had calmed their attacks for the year, and the road was large, the solution simple. The Nia showing up to help unblock the road and help guard caravans going to villages on the blocked route would be an easy way to show that their sect was doing fine with a 16-year-old sect leader. In Nia Huaisang's opinion, his brother was doing amazing, actually. He was gone all the time talking to other sects and making sure everyone was training and doing math about grain. He was busy all the time, and didn't even have time to see Nia Huaisang unless it was briefly at dinner, or if Nia Huaisang snuck into his bedroom to talk before he slept. Actually, he did that last one a lot. But it wasn't official, so it didn't count. That was Nia Huaisang scraping for every inch of his brother he could get. It was a small crisis, which meant sect leader Nia Mingzhe and his little brother got to take a carriage there rather than flying by sword. Which meant Nia Huaisong could cuddle up to his brother on the bumpy ride and peer out the windows and point out, "Look, ducks in a pond! Look at all those chickens on that farm! Dage, I think those are geese! Is that an owl in the day? Did someone wake it up?"
"Isn't it traditional to call out if we pass horses or cows?" Nia Mingzhe grumbled.
"We have cows and horses at home. We have two horses pulling the carriage. And you can call out horses. But I want to see birds," Nia Huaisong said.
"We have chickens at home."
"You cook the chickens into food. That's different."
"I'll fry you up," Nia Mingzhe said. And Nia Huaisong shrieked with glee as his brother tried to tackle him. It was already a perfect slice of time. It was then promptly almost ruined by having to get out of the carriage.
"I thought this was going to be about how going and finding all these rock pigeons was the best thing ever," Mo Xuanyu said.
"It was. I'm getting to it," Nia Huaisong said. "Good rock pigeon joke, by the by."
"They're good birds," Mo Xuanyu said.
"So what was bad about getting out of the carriage?"
"So this was a little over a year after I'd lost my father," Nia Huaisong said. "When Rohan had sabotaged his saber, which broke during a night hunt, he got gored. You know the drill."
"I don't, actually," Mo Xuanyu said. "You don't talk about this stuff, Lao Shi."
"No?"
"Well, it was the biggest gossip in the cultivation world back then. Of course, everyone just thought my father took a bad injury after the hunt and went mad," Nia Huaisong said. "And every chucklefuck in the Jianghu had an opinion on why, and had no problem yapping about it in front of my brother and I. Such a prodigy, so young, so inevitable. Geniuses always fall." "It was all over the funeral, and every time we went out, so many sects wanted to offer help. And by offer help, I mean take a big bite out of our resources while crying crocodile tears." He waved his fan as if to try and usher all that out of the room.
"Yikes," Mo Xuanyu said.
"Yikes indeed. I was a kid. I didn't want to deal with that stuff. I decided I was sick of it, was not dealing with it, and quit making public appearances. Which mostly worked since I was like 8 and no one really gave a shit," Nia Huaisong said. "But it gave my poor brother a heart attack. I'd been a social little kid before, right? Doing a complete 180 to being a shut-in who actively avoided people was pretty messed up in hindsight. He was probably worried sick."
"What do you mean, probably?"
"Well, I didn't think about it at the time. My brother had taken over the sect. He barely had any time, and I was too miserable to really think about how he was feeling. And I was 9 and stupid."
"You're not that stupid."
"I'm very stupid. I have to rely on having lots of people to have thoughts for me," Nia Huaisong bragged. "I just put them into new shapes later."
"I think that's called delegating as a sect leader," Mo Xuanyu said.
"Boo. Anyway, we've gotten off topic. I was young and terrified of talking to people. So when we arrived at the site of the rock slide, I mostly hid behind our guards while my brother talked. He'd probably been hoping getting me outside would cheer me up." It had been a good carriage ride, Nia Mingzhe thought numbly. Huaisong had been his old self again, poking his head out the window and shouting at every creature with feathers on the way here. It probably had been too much to hope that it wouldn't end like this, with his little brother silent and huddled behind the carriage. He hadn't even worked up the nerve to go pester the ravens, gorging on the unfortunate pig who triggered the landslide, though that might have been for the best. Falling rocks could slice as swiftly and surely as swords if they dropped from high enough. "We're here to clear the roads," he said. And then there were pleasantries, mind-numbing, with the village chief, and talking to the workers and sending people out to clear the rocks. And there was something almost soothing about falling into the rote work of hauling rocks and clearing the paths. It wasn't the same as training his saber or working his frustrations out with a knife in the kitchen.
but it was good enough. Rote. Easy. Just like training. He didn't have to worry about borders or politics if he was hauling something heavy. This was a remarkably quick fix for what could be a major problem, and so he was going to fix it. So he let himself work and haul and not think until the sun grew high and they stopped for lunch. "Has anyone seen Huaisong?" The men from the village had not. The other Niasect cultivators had not. Nia Mingzhuai was going to get a migraine. "Seriously, where is Huaisong?" From above. "Up here, Daga." Nia Mingzhuai looked up. Nia Huaisong was peeking down from a ledge partway up the cliff, waving. "You have to come up here, Daga. There's birds." "What have I told you about ditching the sect to watch birds?" Nia Mingzhuai shouted at him, grinning despite himself. A brat move like that was very much like the old Huaisong. It was almost reassuring to see him pull a stunt like that. "I didn't ditch you guys. I'm right next to you. Come on, Daga. You have to see this." Nia Mingzhuai sighed, all put upon, and hopped onto Baxia, riding her up the cliff to the ledge. The cliff was sheer enough that Huaisong had likely used his own saber to fly up here. What kind of birds would lure him up? Oh. A dozen bird skeletons trapped in stone, black wings shimmering in the soft rock. "See, it's birds," Nia Huaisong said. He had walked up to one of the bird skeletons, hand outstretched, almost daring to touch the wings. Nia Mingzhuai very gently touched his brother's shoulder. "Can I invite your Xizhongs up here?" "Yeah, of course," Nia Huaisong said. He did not look away from his birds. "And you know, these aren't the only animals in rocks I've found," Nia Huaisong said. "It's not that uncommon if you know where to look. Like, there's this soft gemstone, amber, and you can find insects and feathers in it. Or if you want shells, there's so many of them in rocks if you know where to look. There's clams and snails and spiders and crabs. You find the right soft stones and you just have to dig to find them. Or sometimes you crack open a rock and there's just a whole fish in there, lined up like someone just cooked it and ate it off the bone. This whole world is just an entire grave. You just have to dig."
"I mean, you're speaking to the choir here," Mo Xuanyu said.
He peered down at the coffin Nia Huaisong had led him to. Gemstones with mites and dragonflies and spiraling, shiny shells shone out of it. He touched one shell. It felt like stone to the touch. Rough-hewn, nubby. "But usually mine sing back if I call to them." "Wei Xiang couldn't bring back just bones. You need tissue to move," Nia Huaisong said. "Also resentment. I'd guess it's unusual to have an animal so resentful that you could wake it up, Yu Yu." He pursed his lips. "I mean, maybe a swan could."
"I'd like to see someone get a swan in the rock like this,"
Mo Xuanyu said, hefting the spiral stone shells. "They feel like rock. Animals from the mountains and from the rivers, all in the same stones.
Were they all on the same mountain?"
"Oh, no. They all come from different places. I've kept track. I've got a map of them all. There's so many of them. I bet the Jin elders are going mad trying to find out why I bought that mine on our border for double the price, speculating on if I found gold or gems there," Nia Huaisong said, and he spun, the lantern in his hand spinning with him. Carvings on the walls, a map, places and names, and a desk covered in lenses and rocks, burnt-out candle stubs. "Why should I let them get into another tomb that's on my land?"
"Another tomb?"
Nia Huaisong spun to a halt, puffing for breath. In the dark hall, his pale robes haloed around him as if he were the one trapped in stone. "Well, you see..." That night, the Nia sect all slept at the one inn in town, taking nearly every room. Nia Mingzhuai and Nia Huaisong shared a small room with two beds. It only took about a xichen for Nia Huaisong to rouse himself and crawl into Niamingjue's bed for comfort, with only the moon lighting the two of them. Niamingjue probably should have scolded him. He was nearly 10, and there would only be so long that the world would tolerate his brother mourning and clinging to his side. He was the heir to the Nia sect now. If anything happened to Niamingjue, it would not. At least, not yet. Niamingjue would carve out enough space for Huaisong to grow up first. But maybe he ought to.
"Dugga, I figured out why the birds were in the rocks," Nia Huaisong said. "I've been thinking about it all day."
They all had been. The Nias had looked upon the bizarre sight on the cliff's face in ones and twos, ferrying up curious villagers to look with them. No one could make heads or tails of how the birds had gotten there, so deep inside a mountain that only a landslide could free them.
"How?" Niamingjue asked. "So, you know how phoenixes and dragons are in love?" Nia Huaisong said. "Since they're in the weddings together. Those birds all had dragon heads, so I think they must be the children of a phoenix and a dragon."
"I see," Niamingjue said.
"So if a phoenix and a dragon have babies, they have to be really strong, right? But then that means that if they lose their babies, they have to look out for wicked cultivators stealing the bodies to make cauldrons or amulets out of them, or Yao trying to eat them to gain their power," Nia Huaisong reasoned. "So if they bury them, they have to do it really well, so well that no one can find them."
That was not how a cultivation cauldron worked, but Niamingjue was not bringing that up here and now. "So you think this was a burial site?"
"It was a tomb for the phoenixes," Huaisong said.
"Why a tomb?"
"They couldn't get into the rocks without cultivation," Nia Huaisong said. "You can't just put an animal in rocks."
"But what could?"
"A dragon."
"Then why was it unmarked?"
"It's unmarked to us. If people went to our tombs, they'd go, 'Oh, it's a little abandoned fortress.' They wouldn't know it's where our sabers are. So the phoenixes must have a way to see it that we don't."
It was sound enough logic. Niamingjue couldn't disprove it, not when he'd have to go around explaining that they had no idea what an actual dragon looked like. So how could it have children?
"I'm going somewhere with this, I promise, Dagu."
"So what do you think we should do with them?"
"If a rock slide disturbs a tomb, we rebury the people in it so that they can rest, right?" Nia Huaisong said. "Or else they'll become resentful and leave. So if we leave them out on the cliff face, we'll be haunted by them too. We have to make them a new tomb."
"How?"
"We can cut them out of the rock."
"How?"
"If we use pulleys to carry people up, they can carve them out of the rock. Then we can fly them down on our sabers. We'd need to make a tomb big enough to hold them, but one that won't be disturbed either. Maybe if we use one of the old unused buildings here."
The words poured out of him like a flood, sketching plans to haul rocks and ensure the phoenix skeletons remained intact and ensure their safety. Maybe put in a proper human tombstone for them, record that they existed.
"It's like Adi didn't really exist," Nia Huaisong had said after the funeral. "They said all those lies about him, like it was his fault he died. And Wen Ruohan making fun of his tomb, like he wouldn't break in to make things worse if we didn't hide our dead away."
"I wish it was better," Niamingjue said. "Adi deserved better."
"If I die, I'm going to do it in private. That way they can't make fun of us at the funeral."
"Us?"
"If I die first, you'll be sad. And if you die first, I'll be sad. So we'll just wait and do it together," Nia Huaisong said. "And we'll get buried deep in the deepest parts of the family tomb together."
He had a ruthless logic to it. For the good of the sect, ideally one of them would outlive the other, have children, maintain the sect. Ideally, Huaisong would get a chance to outlive him. Neither of them should be doing this kind of deadly calculus. And yet... "We'll build one," Niamingjue said. "The two of us. They won't have to worry about being separated or being disturbed.
Nie Huaisang broke into a relieved grin. Oh, good. We'll take good care of them.
We will. Now go to sleep. We need to be well rested tomorrow.
Because he would have to figure out how to sell this expense to the sect elders after hauling all that rock.
A tomb of phoenixes. And shells, I guess. Are they special too?
Well, yes and no. I think the shells are just shells, but that doesn't make them less special. I mean, look at them, Nie Huaisang said. They were alive. And even now, years after their deaths, their bodies remain. They exist.
I mean, it's not unusual for bodies to be around after they die, Mo Xuanyu said.
Did I say years? I mean thousands of years, Nie Huaisang said. I've taken these to diviners, and they say they cannot work out how old they are. I asked if they could find what emperor was in power when they died, and there was none. They predate the three sovereigns and five emperors. They're older than the calendar we use. Maybe older than fire.
Mo Xuanyu stared down at the coffin he was next to. The bird skeleton in it had been fractured and put back together, the jagged cracks smoothed over so that bone could once again meet bone.
Just think, when we die, our bones stay here, and our souls reflect the shape our body is in. In 1,000 years, our bones will still remain. Even if we reincarnate, even if we disappear, there will remain a trace of us in the earth. If we break, we can be put back together. Nie Huaisang traced the cracked rock.
There is always a body to remember, even if the soul is gone, Mo Xuanyu echoed, looking down at the bird with black wings.
There will always be someone to remember us, Nie Huaisang said. Isn't that a relief?
It is, Mo Xuanyu said. Black feathers, he thought. Just like his name. To think that even after 1,000 years, something could remain of old life.
Who'd have thought the fastest way to live forever would be to die?
Don't go around getting ideas, Nie Huaisang said, and gently bopped him on the head.
The fastest way to live is to keep living, even if a couple of bozos like us practice self-destructive cultivation. A miracle could still happen, right?
Yeah, a miracle, Mo Xuanyu repeated, and stared down at his bones.
Like if they still remember us in 1,000 years.
And that's why it's called Xuanyu Raptor, said the professor with salt and pepper hair. He stood shoulder to shoulder with the man in the green jacket. The four walls that surrounded them were covered in dancing dinosaurs, tiny raptors whose black feathers shone under the museum lights. The plaque below them read, Microraptoria Xuanyu Raptor, found in Hebei, China, courtesy of the Nia sect.
That's a hell of a backstory for this exhibit, the man in green said.
It's a hell of an exhibit. Do you know how hard it was to haul all this from China? Said the professor.
Pretty hard.
Real hard. I mean, easier with planes these days, but the Nia sect's still pretty touchy about who can take exhibits out of their collection. I only got permission because I have special privileges.
Oh?
Professor Huaisang Nia, though I usually go by Harry in the States, said the professor, offering his hand with a grin. He had Professor Nia on his name tag, too, pinned to his dinosaur-patterned button-down shirt. I'm a distant relation to the main branch, including the old Nia ancestor who kicked off this whole thing.
Nice to meet you.
I'm also a Nia?
My family came over here in the 1800s, so I don't know a lot about, you know, the sect and all that, said the man in green as he shook his hand.
Don't worry about that. I quit that business ages ago. Plus there's branches and just don't worry about it.
I just do paleontology these days unless things get weird, Professor Nia said.
So, and he nudged him. I'm Ming Shui, said the man in the green jacket. I run Famous Highland Barbecue. It's not that far from here. I mostly came since I was curious about family, I guess. I don't know a lot about the Nias in China. I don't touch Nia sect business these days unless it's an emergency. It's all dinosaurs these days, Professor Nia said. Better to leave the present to people living in the present, right? I'm just going to be out here playing with bones until the end of time. A pause. But I can tell you all about them if you want. I'm not going anywhere today. That would be cool. I mean, my dad might want to, too. He doesn't leave the house much these days. He's getting older. Professor Nia's eyes widened, and he whipped around to face Ming Shui. I would genuinely love to meet your father. It's great getting to meet branches of the family I thought vanished, right? I get to be like the traveling patriarch with how much I run around, connecting families back and forth. It's kind of a miracle, right? Is it? Yeah, it's like a fossil. No, I'm going somewhere with this, I promise. I'm listening. Like, back in the old days, people could only guess what dinosaurs were, right? But now we know that fossils are formed when an animal dies in the right place, with the right soil, and is buried in just the right place and isn't disturbed. It's likely these Xuan Yu raptors were drowned in a flood and buried in the mud there, Professor Nia said. It's the correct combination of circumstance, tragedy, and time. Think of all the coincidences that had to happen. That they died, that they were preserved, that there was an earthquake to uncover them in perfect condition, that they were dug out in perfect condition, that their time and place of being found was recorded, and that they were protected all that time so we could see them today. Just think, they waited over 100 million years to be dug back out of the earth and be found again. After all this time, they came back. He smiled, a little shy, a little sly. Just like you. Just like me? Ming Shui asked. The two of us are from the same family, but you were born out here in the States, and me back in China. How many chance circumstances had to happen for us to meet here and now? A lot, Ming Shui admitted. It's a nice way of thinking of it. Well, I'm a paleontologist, right? My whole thing is miracles. They may not always be as spectacular as a dozen perfect specimens lined up, but they happen. Souls come back. We see and we mourn and we learn from those who came before us. Every bone we find, every trace of the past we discover, can become a miracle. Do miracles happen that often? More than you might think, Professor Nia said. There was a rapid skittering of footsteps from outside the exhibit area, and then a teenager in a yellow jacket rapidly walked into the room, carrying two cups of coffee. Professor, I brought the caffeine. Don't faint again. Oh, did you find a friend? I did. Thank you, Yu-Yu. And Professor Nia plucked his violently pink iced coffee from his intern's hand. Daga and I were talking dinosaurs. I'm pretty sure you're older than me, Ming Shui said. Allegedly, Professor Nia said. So then, you two. And he looked between them. Want to go see the shells exhibit? I think it's fascinating. The shells are all from different times and places. There's a whole thing about the Qingxiang biota and working on sourcing some of the really old discoveries back to where they were found, which is really key to dating them properly. But they're all here and now, together. I'm your intern. I can't exactly say no, said Yu-Yu. Why not? Ming Shui said. Lead the way. And together, the three of them walked out of the tomb. The end.